Okay. Okay, so let's start. Okay, so already Dr. Anita introduced me, but maybe let me introduce myself, you know. Then you can understand the background of what we are doing here. You know? So, my name is Sudhamachara. Sudhamachara is a Pali name. Pali is, of course, very close to Sanskrit, you know, and usually in Theravada countries, Sri Lanka, Myanmar, Thailand, you know, they are using this Pali language as official language of Dharma. And of course, we don't know what kind of language Buddha himself was speaking, you know, but maybe very close. This Pali language is very close to the language which Buddha himself was speaking. You know? So, but because I was given this name in Myanmar, and I also have, of course, Japanese Buddhist name, you know, but in India, Pali language maybe is much more easier for you to remember. You know? So that's why I'm using it. Okay? So, anyway, here we have a two and a half day. So today, tomorrow morning and afternoon, and Sunday only morning, 3 hours each. So usually, like as we did last year, I will speak about some point, you know, about special meditation, you know. Maybe one hour, a little bit, you know. Then we take rest. We take a break. And then maybe tea will be served. You know? So we drink tea and just take break. And after that, my friend Reiko, a yoga teacher, will give you just a short yoga session. Just relax your body. And maybe she will introduce some kind of pranayama, controlling breathing. Because before we start meditation, our mind should be already calm, you know. We cannot start meditation immediately after, running, you know. So then yoga can offer many, many techniques of calming down your mind by controlling our body or by controlling our breathing, you know. So Reiko will give you a short version of such a kind of yoga. Then we practice meditation, you know. But usually I'm teaching meditation, three kinds of meditation. Feeling subtle sensation of our body, and compassion meditation, and breathing meditation, you know. So three techniques, but we integrate all these three techniques, you know, and for one purpose. And recently, again, I changed the name of my meditation. So recently, I'm calling it Blue Sky Meditation. Blue Sky Meditation. I used to call it Present Moment Meditation, or like that. You know? Or sometimes Subtle Consciousness Meditation. You know? So, that's why I'm doing usually doing retreat in Deer Park in Himachal Pradesh. So first present moment retreat, then subtle consciousness meditation retreat, then blue sky meditation retreat, you know, like that. But anyways, it's the same meditation. So we use three kinds of techniques, but the final goal is to touch the blue sky. So what is the blue sky? Of course, we are going to discuss, you know. You know, anyway. So that's why each time, in each session, we practice first feeling body sensation, and then compassion, and anapanasati. No? Okay? And especially anapanasati, we don't need long instruction, but sattu sensation and compassion, we need a long long instruction. No? That's why we do maybe twice. And maybe breathing meditation only one time, in total five. Okay? And then after meditation, we'll have a question and answer session. And you can ask question about what I talked, you know, or what you just did, your meditation, you know. And then in total 3 hours each. You know? Okay? So, as Anita introduced me, I started my practice in Japanese Zen tradition, you know. In the Japanese Zen tradition, there are two traditions, you know. One is using koan. Koan is a very symbolical question, you know, which we cannot answer rationally, you know. And then the second tradition is a Shikantaza tradition. It's a just sitting tradition. So we don't use koan, but we just sit. We just sit in front of the wall for many, many hours, many, many years, you know. So I used to belong to this, the last one, I mean, Shikantaza tradition, you know. So I was trained in Japan, then I went to America, and I spent 3 years in Massachusetts. And then I came back to Japan. Then 2001, I went to Myanmar and spent 4 years over there. And then Myanmar is, as you know, one of the best Theravada country, you know, which is very famous for its own meditation, you know. So usually most of Theravada meditation came from Myanmar, like Goenkaji is very famous, you know, near Bombay, there's his headquarters, you know. Near Bombay, there's Goenkaji's headquarters, and now spread over. Unfortunately, Goenkaji himself passed away a few months ago, you know. But many, many people are practicing vipassana, you know. But it's, as you know, it's following Myanmar tradition, you know. It's following Theravada tradition. Even though Goenkaji himself didn't say clearly that, but it's so obvious, you know. So Myanmar is famous for such a meditation. You know, Goenkaji is just one of them. There are many other meditation teachers, and each meditation teacher has its own method, you know. So I learned one of such methods, which is called Pao method, you know, because my Myanmar teacher, Pao Seado, is a founder of this Pao method, you know. So I studied with him for 4 years, and I completed the course. And so, as you know, now I just give you just a short history of Buddhism, you know, and then you can understand what you are doing, you know, because Buddha was of course born 2,500 years ago in India, you know. Then, at first, at the beginning, of course, there's no sect, no separation, nothing, you know. But little by little, of course, many, many sects, you know. Then, one tradition is, of course, from India, and one monk went to Sri Lanka, You know, then Sri Lanka, they finally decided to write down Buddha's words. You know, before that, everything just oral tradition. You know? Then from Sri Lanka, Myanmar, Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, like that. You know, there's one such a tradition. It's called Theravada tradition or Southern Buddhist tradition, something like that. Okay. Then another tradition is, of course, China. It went to China, you know, crossing over the Himalayan mountains and where there are many deserts and like that, you know. Then anyway, Chinese monks came and also Indian monks went, you know. So then Buddhism was transmitted to China. Then from China, Korea and Japan, we belong to Chinese cultural, you know. So that's why Japanese people, we learned everything from China, you know. And Japanese people, Japanese monks, they went to China and they brought back Buddhist Sutra, which is written in Chinese, you know. So then, this is a Mahayana tradition. Mahayana tradition. You know? Then, in East Asia, Mahayana tradition developed, and mainly in two aspects. One aspect is a Pure Land aspect, Pure Land. You know, and second one is of course Zen. You know, Zen is just a dhyana, you know, dhyana. It's a concentrated mind, mental state by meditation. You know, it's called Zen. So they put emphasis on sitting meditation. You know, so sitting meditation or Pure Land Buddhism. Pure Land Buddhism means, like in Pure Land, Amitabha Buddha, one of the Buddhas, is living. So we just take refuge in Amitabha, then they can save me, he can save me. This is a faith, you know. So Pure Land and Zen, you know. This is a main two streams of East Asia Buddhist tradition, you know. Both are Mahayana, you know. Okay. Then third one is, of course, Tibet. You know, it went directly to Tibet. Or Tibetan monk came, you know. And then after that, you know, so all Sanskrit sutra translated into Tibetan, you know. So Tibetan tradition, of course, famous for Mahayana, but also Vajrayana. You know? Vajrayana practice is very, very Tibetan characteristic of Tibetan, you know. Okay, so that's why now, you know, because you are living in India, living in Goa, so usually you are exposed to these three streams of Buddhism, you know. Like you might meet Theravada monks, you know, from Sri Lanka, Myanmar, Thailand, or you are exposed to Theravada meditation, like Goenkaji is very famous, you know. So anyway, if you go to Vipassana 10 days course, it means you are exposed to this tradition, you know, Sri Lanka, Myanmar, Theravada, Myanmar, this Theravada tradition, okay. Then you might meet like a Japanese Zen monk or Taiwanese monks or Korean monks, you know. Then you are exposed to East Asian tradition, you know. And Pure Land is not so popular outside of East Asia, but Zen is very popular, you know. So that's why very often you might be exposed to Zen, you know. Like, you know, Zen, they have a big influence to especially culture, West Coast culture in America, 60s, 70s, you know. So then Zen has a very very close relationship with like a hippie movement, of course, yes, you know, but also like a person like Steve Jobs, you know, Apple's founders. He was a Zen practitioner, you know. He's a disciple of Kobun Chino. You know? Kobun Chino is a Japanese Zen master. You know? So Steve Jobs himself practiced such a Zen, and he was very much influenced by Zen-like way of thinking. You know? Always, you know, his famous speech is like, you know, always think, oh, today is the last day of my life. Am I satisfied? If I have to die now, am I satisfied? Can I say I'm doing what I want to do, you know, like that. So this is a very Zen way of thinking, you know. So so that like this, you know, Zen gave a big influence to such a, especially computer or Silicon Valley, like that. You know? So anyway, you are exposed to Zen and East Asian Mahayana tradition. But also, of course, you know, now Tibetan, you can be very easily exposed to Tibetan tradition, because in India, many, many Tibetan teachers and monks are acting very much, you know. So very often, you know, maybe you might already, you might have been to His Holiness Dalai Lama's teaching, you know, or maybe some Rinpoche's teaching, you know, or if you go to bookstore, you can very easily buy Tibetan teachers' books, you know. So this is a, so it means you are already, when you are living in India, you are already exposed to these three kinds of streams of Buddhism, you know. So if you understand just a little bit short history of understanding of Buddhist history, then you will not be confused, you know. Anyway, so that's why my talk actually came from, of course, Japanese Zen tradition, and also Myanmar Theravada tradition, you know. Then recently, I have a relationship with many Tibetan teachers, you know, so I'm influenced by their ideas, you know. Okay. So that's why you can understand the background of my talk, okay. So then, けいこさん、悪いけどちょっと水どっかから持ってきてくれる。水をどっかから持ってきてくれる。うん、okay. So, okay. 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 So, but anyway, you know, like, you know, today, the purpose of this meeting is not just some kind of intellectual, academic, you know, introduction of Buddhism, you know, but these 3 days, we practice meditation, you know, based on Buddha's teaching, you know. But then I will explain what is the meditation, how to do it, what's the pitfalls of meditation, and how to avoid it, you know. That's kind of story, you know. But before we discuss about meditation, I will talk about a little more basic, important points of Dharma, of practicing Dharma, you know. Because usually in a spiritual world or Buddhist world, you know, there are mainly extreme attitude, you know. is a one extreme attitude is a not learning at all orthodox tradition, you know, not reading any authentic Buddhist texts, you know, or any authentic spiritual text, you know, but just do whatever they want, whatever they feel, you know, like you know, there are many so-called spiritual books or so-called self-development books or like that, you know. So then in English, of course, there are many, you know, and also in Japanese there are many, you know. Then when I talk with them, like what they are talking about are not completely wrong, but they are not based on very strict real tradition. That's why a little bit superficial, a little bit not so clear, a little bit not well integrated, you know, or something like that, you know. So, like, if it means if we don't learn tradition, it's also very, very like, it's also, it can be also pitfall, you know. But another pitfall is like this. Yes, we follow very strict tradition, you know. We read Buddhist texts. Buddhist texts very as strictly as possible, you know. But then we forget some very important points, you know, like I mean, how to apply the Dharma to our daily life, or to ourselves, to our families, you know, like that. So, okay, so, okay, one hand, not learning at all tradition, you know, then just lead to self-development, you know, then the other side is just studying very much the tradition, Buddhist text, you know. But then, no application to our life, you know. So, what I'm going to do is integrate both sides, you know. Like, it's like a medicine, you know. Of course, you know, there are many kinds of weird, like, stuff about health, you know. No based on scientific research, you know. Like, you should eat such and such a food, or you should take such and such and such, you know. But no science, you know. But the other hand, you know, very strict science of medicine, you know. But we ourselves, we ignore ourselves. You know? It means we ourselves are just a human being, and we have lots of. Emotions and mind, you know, and we have also human relationships with our families, with our partner, with our parents, and colleague in our working place, you know, like that. So, like, if we ignore our human side, you know, then if we study Dharma just only by intellectually, it's also another big pitfall, you know, because we don't apply this Dharma to myself, to my family relationship, like that. Okay? Then sometimes Dharma can be a way of escaping from our reality, you know? We have our problems already in our mind. Then already, if you have a problem, usually problem will be apparent in human relationship, you know? Then especially in family, you know, like that. So this problem, the problem in my mind, becomes a problem between our partner or our children with our parents or like that. Okay, but we cannot see them, or we don't want to see them, these problems. Then at that time, Dharma can be a way of escaping from the reality. You know? But this is a totally ironical, you know, because from the beginning, Buddhism was very realistic, you know. Like if you think of Buddha's life, you know, he was born as a prince in Shakya Kingdom, you know, now in Nepal, near Lumbini, you know? And he was supposed to become king, and he was living a very happy life as a prince, and get married, and got one son, you know. But then he felt something was wrong. In my, everything was wrong, you know. So then finally he left his palace, and he was wandering around for 6 years, and finally in Buddha Gaya, at the foot of the Bodhi tree, you know, he got the so-called enlightenment, and he became a Buddha. Buddha means awakened person. So it means he didn't study Buddhism just as a hobby, you know. So Buddhism was not like some kind of object of his intellectual research, you know. But if so, he could do it. He could have done it as a king, you know. So he just he became a king, you know. Then just as a hobby, he enjoyed it like a study of religion like that, you know. But he didn't choose such kind of way, and he just cut his hair, and he jumped into the real life as a practitioner, you know. Why? Because his problem was so urgent, so he couldn't ignore it, you know. So then it means from the beginning, for us, this real problem in my mind is a real thing. So we really have to solve this problem. So it means we ourselves is already sick, you know. Then for me, some medicine which can cure my disease is very, very life and death stuff. You know, it's not like I'm completely healthy, you know. Then I just enjoy my scientific research of some kind of medicine. It's not like that, you know. I myself already sick, and I really need some kind of medicine which can cure my body, you know. So that's why when we at that time we really have to investigate what kind of medicine can really cure my body, you know. We really have to do very scientific research, you know. But the scientific research with very some kind of urgency. Why? Because I myself was sick. Okay? So we should learn Dharma with this kind of attitude. You know? Dharma is of course medicine. You know? But we ourselves are already sick, you know. Sick in, of course, its spiritual sense, you know. So then, we really need a medicine which can cure my sickness, you know. We are not studying Dharma for the sake of intellectual entertainment, you know. I'm a completely healthy doctor, but there are sick people, so that's why I have to do scientific research or medicine which can cure these people. It's not like that, because I'm not a healthy doctor. I'm a sick doctor, you know, already. You know? I'm a sick patient, and at the same time, I'm very like a scientific researcher of medicine, you know. Then, when we find this medicine, first, we have to apply this medicine to our own body, you know. It's not like doing some experiment with some other people, you know. It's not like that. But first, with our body, you know, take this medicine ourselves, you know. Then this medicine can really cure my own stomach ache or not, you know. You know, not other people's stomach ache, you know. First, my own stomach ache, you know. Then, no, it's not that effective, you know. So next one, you know. Then, take. Just a little bit better. You know? But anyway, so, then we try to find out the medicine which can really cure my stomach ache. Then finally, my stomach is completely cured. Then finally, I understand that structure of this medicine. Then we can start to give this medicine to other people. You know, so that's why when you study Dharma, this kind of attitude is very necessary. You know, because sometimes you know people like pretend I'm completely healthy, but there are some sick people. That's why I'm doing research, you know. No, you yourself are already sick, you know. Like that. We ourselves, all of us are sick. In spiritual sense, you know, of course. You know? So then, this sickness usually become apparent, especially in intimate relationship, as everyone knows, you know. So, last year maybe I said, I don't know, you know. Some people said, I'm very unhappy. Because I came from dysfunctional family, you know. But then I said, you know, don't worry, you know. Everyone came from dysfunctional family, you know. So all it means my dysfunction is too strong, you know. But anyway, every family has its own problem. Why? It's not because we chose wrong partner, you know. It's not like that. Because with our mental condition of now, we cannot avoid problems with our partner. You know. Why? Because our mental condition is not good. It's old. You know. So we really have to change our mental condition, you know, through meditation. You know, of course we are going to discuss about what kind of new state of mind we should enter into, you know. But then this is of course blue sky, you know. But later we did discuss about it. You know, but anyway, now we are not in the blue sky. We are in the clouds, you know. So it means we have a very old conditioned mind. So with this kind of old conditioned mind, if we have a relationship, we cannot avoid any problems. Okay? So that's why, as I said, everyone is sick in spiritual sense. then this sickness becomes usually apparent in our intimate relationship and in our family. You know, so that's why. Then point is, that's why when problems becomes apparent, it's an extremely good chance. Why? Because problem is really our teacher. You know, because problem give us suffering. Problem give us some kind of emergency feeling, you know, urgent feeling. Yes, we have to do something. You know. So, then we make a mistake, you know. Yes, oh my goodness, I chose the wrong partner. You know? So this is the wrong conclusion, you know. Because even if you change another partner, you will face exactly the same problems, you know. So it means you did not make any mistake, wrong choice, you know. No. Because first of all, here we have problems, not in partners. No. So that's why now, as everyone knows, partnership and families, you know, in a very, everywhere in a very critical situation. India too. I had many stories from Indian people, but also in Japan too, you know. You know. So when I was listening to Indian people's story about their families, this is exactly same as Japan, you know. So family problems everywhere are just same. India, America, Japan, we have exactly same family problem, exactly same partner problem, you know. So it means don't worry, you know, don't worry, you know. So it means it has nothing to do your partner. It has nothing to do your parents or children. It has it's only our mind problems. It means our mind, we should really change our mind, not our partner, you know. So it means yes, with this, our crazy mind, you know, we have a partner, we have a family, then, of course, immediately problem will become apparent. Then it means it's a very extremely good chance. Why? As I said, problem is a teacher. Then, it's of course, it gives us lots of suffering. Because we feel suffering, that's why we feel we have to do something. We feel some kind of necessity to change ourselves. Okay? Okay, so that's why, please, you know, my family is also very dysfunctional, you know. My parents are already, they married for more than 60 years, you know, but constantly they are fighting, you know. But, but anyway, you know, so it means now it's time for not criticizing our partner. It's not time for criticizing our parents or children or like that. But we really have to change our own mind, you know. So that's why when we practice Dharma or study Dharma or Buddhist teaching or any religious stuff, you know, our main focus is just our mind, you know, this crazy mind, you know. Then how to cure this craziness, you know. Then our study of Dharma or our practice of meditation can be extremely helpful, effective, you know. So, but my point is, if you ignore your own mind, you know, then you will miss everything. You will miss all the important point. You know? Then you will become just a follower of very famous teacher, you know. But then it's just a you are a follower of some kind of Hollywood movie star, you know, it's the same, you know, oh, he's a very famous Hollywood movie star, you know, and you are following everywhere, you know. But you should not follow His Holiness like that, you know. But you should, when you meet His Holiness, we have to listen to His words. Then we have to apply His teaching to ourselves, to our mind, you know. And His Holiness is constantly saying like that, you know. So that's why let's focus on our own mind, you know. This is the most important point. Then, when we focus on our own mind, then yes, we can. Of course, we should study text, you know, and we should listen to teachers' Dharma talk, you know, and we should practice Vipassana or everything. But if you don't focus on your own mind, you will miss everything. You will miss all the treasure, because all these teachings, all these texts, they are talking about only one thing: our own crazy mind and how to overcome it. It's not like someone's crazy mind, you know, but our own crazy mind, you know. You understand? Then Buddhism says, like, ignorance is the beginning of everything. But it's not like ignorance in an abstract way. It's our own ignorance itself. You know, oh, they are ignorance. No, no, I am ignorant. You know, so that's why. Of course, I mean, it's not like a criticizing or blaming, not like that. But anyway, we are sick. Then, how to overcome our sickness? You know? Then, of course, you know, usually people don't want to hear, oh, you are sick, you know, because it's very depressing. You know? But why Buddha constantly say you are sick, you know, or this life is suffering, or like that, you know? It's not like pessimistic. Because, you know, unless we realize we are sick, our real treatment doesn't start, you know? Okay, so that's why first we really focus on our own crazy mind. Yes, this is the fundamental cause of all my problems, you know. Then how to overcome it, you know. Then another point is, yes, now I understand. Yes, this medicine is good, you know. Finally, I found this medicine. But then we have to take medicine today, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, every day, you know, every day. It's not like just to take one pill, then everything okay. It's not like that. But the point is, if you take just one pill, you feel, yes, definitely this pill will cure my stomach. Not yet completely cured, but you can have such kind of confidence. So meditation should be like that, you know. Sometimes, you know, meditation, oh, I didn't feel anything, but maybe I should continue. It's not like that. If you do meditation today, this morning and this afternoon, you should have some kind of confidence. Yes, I can maybe cure my sickness completely if I practice meditation every day. Something like that. So, but we should continue, you know? Okay, so now my point is, we really should focus on our mind, especially crazy mind, our own crazy mind. Because why? This is the fundamental cause of all the problems of my own life, and also the problems, of course, of the world. You know, if you switch on a TV, you can see that everywhere just you know, unhappy stuff is just going on everywhere. You know. Rich country, poor country, you know, east and west, everywhere. But of course, all the problems on this planet come from these problems of each person, you know. Then all the problems of each person come from, of course, each person's crazy mind. Okay? But this is our realization. Okay? Then how to overcome this craziness? You know? Then meditation. Then why this meditation can cure our crazy mind? We really have to understand it. You know? Sometimes you should watch your breath, you know. Okay, I watch breath. But watching breath, what does it mean? Why by watching breath you can cure our crazy mind? We really have to understand, you know. Then if you follow such an instruction of breathing meditation, immediately you feel some kind of healthy feeling is coming back. You know. Then we know. You know, some people, some people who has a very weak stomach, and he has constantly some kind of uncomfortable feeling. So he didn't have any healthy feeling of his stomach, you know, because this is just a everyday same thing is going on. But one day, his stomach was a little bit cured. No pain, no diarrhea, you know, no uncomfortable feeling. Then, oh, this stomach should be like this, you know, like that, you know. Our mind is always like that. So our mind, most of people's mind, are constantly some kind of irritation, you know, dissatisfaction, you know, anxiety, fear, jealousy, you know, depression, regret, you know. Not extremely unhappy, but not happy enough, you know. So then in meditation you can be free from all these negative emotions. Then like a stomach without any pain, without any diarrhea, without any constipation, you know, without any gas. Oh, stomach should be like this. And then mind should be like this. How joyful if we don't have any anxiety. How joyful if we don't have any, you know, irritation or regret or fear like that. But we are used to all these negative emotions a little too much, because for a long time our mind is not at all free from all these negative emotions. But through meditation, you can be free from all of them. Then, yes, stomach should be like this, and our mind should be like this, you know. Then little by little, you can getting back your healthy feeling of your mind. Okay? But we need effort. But 3 days is enough, you know, 3 days is enough. We really focus on fundamental cause of our own problems, you know. Then how to cure it, you know. Then how to continue our treatment, you know. And what is the pitfalls, you know. Then we have to, how to avoid it, you know, like that. Okay, so anyway, maybe just a little more, you know. Then I said, our mind is crazy, you know. Maybe you got upset, you know, but maybe everyone will agree with me, you know. So how crazy our mind is, you know. Like, because if you, maybe most of you already practice meditation, that's why you know it. Like people who has experienced meditation, they know their mind is crazy, you know. But people who doesn't have any experience of meditation, when I say your mind is crazy, they get upset, you know. But because I think most of you have already experienced the meditation, that's why you understand what I'm talking about, you know. Like such a very simple meditation, like watching breath. But everyone knows it's extremely difficult meditation. Our mind cannot stay at the meditation object, it means in-breath, out-breath. Then we know how crazy, oh my goodness, how crazy my mind is. My mind is really just jumping around, you know. But the point is, until now, yes, of course our mind has been just jumping around everywhere, you know, everywhere. But the point is, we didn't know that. We didn't know that, you know. Then now, we decide to do meditation, and we completely failed, because we could, our mind could not stay at one place. It's a in-breath, out-breath. Then we know now how our mind has been just jumping around. You know? So that's why, you know, many people try to do meditation and they could not concentrate on meditation object and they complain, they are disappointed or like that. But I really think it, you know, but at least you realized your mind cannot concentrate. Isn't it such a big progress, you know? Because usually we don't know that our mind cannot concentrate. You know? Only by failing in our meditation, we know that. Then what happens? Then we know the fundamental cause of our trouble, our problems. You know? Like if, and like such a, you know, jumping around mind has also very strong driving force. And most of them are negative driving force, you know. So with our too much desire, with our too much anger, with our too much such and such, you know, we have been driven by this power. Isn't it too dangerous? You know? It's actually very dangerous. That's why Buddha said our mind is a wild horse. You know, wild horse. It's impossible to control. You know? So, of course, this wild horse will take you everywhere. It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous, you know. Okay, so then... anyway, then how to control our such a crazy mind? You know? But as you know, if we try to control some kind of uncontrollable things, usually it brings more confusion. You know. Then if you like this. Uncontrollable mind, Buddha said it's a wild horse mind. But of course, Buddha said it's a monkey mind. You know, so it means if you fight against monkey, what happens? Usually, monkey would be more excited. You know, more excited, as everyone knows. You know, so then monkey would be more active. And then many people said, you know, when I don't do meditation, my mind is okay. But once I start meditation, my mind becomes more crazy, you know. And I used to think, you know, maybe she just feels like that because she's aware, she's looking, now she's watching her mind. But maybe objectively, her mind becomes more active. After she start meditation. Why? Of course, you know, this person is not doing right meditation, you know. they found their mind is jumping around everywhere, and their mind is not following their instruction. Instruction means, you know, we have to watch our breath. We have to watch our in-breath, out-breath. Simplest meditation. You know? But our mind cannot concentrate, even for a single moment, our in-breath, out-breath. Then, of course, we try to control our mind to stay at breathing breath like that. But it means we try to grasp monkey, catch monkey, and force monkey to stay still. Do you think we can do it? Of course we cannot. It means we make our monkeys more active. More active. Okay? So that's why we need strategy. We need strategy of how to control such an uncontrollable, crazy monkey mind. You know? We have to be very patient, but we have to be very skillful, and we have to be very wise. Otherwise, we make the situation worse. You know? But of course, you know, we are following the Buddha, you know, and the Buddha gave us very wise, very skillful, very effective, you know, such a method. You know. Then, of course, Buddha gave us many kind of techniques, you know, and I practiced many of them, you know. But I'm not teaching all of them now, because I'm teaching only three of them. I chose simplest, most effective, that kind of method. It's a, then of course it's a subtle feeling, subtle sensation of our body and compassion and breathing meditation. You know? Then we practice soon feeling subtle sensation of our body. What does it mean, subtle sensation? Usually, of course, everyone feels pain. Sometimes we feel pleasure. You know? But we are not talking about such kind of rough sensation. I said subtle sensation. No? Okay, so point is, when our mind is active like a wild horse or a monkey mind, at that time, our mind and body are completely separate. Our mind already went somewhere else. Where did it go? Our mind went to tomorrow. Our mind went back to 10 years ago. Now, 10 years ago's bad event is coming back. You know? You regret. You got upset. You know? But memory is coming back. Or you already went to New Delhi or New York. You know? Future or in the past. You know? So, please watch your mind. Then please watch your mind. Then, when your mind is such active, at the time, where are you? You are already in tomorrow. You are already in the past. You are already someplace other than here and now. You know. So that's why. How to avoid all these things? We have to do completely opposite things. We have to stay here and now. You know, of course, here and now is a very famous word, you know. But But still, the meaning of here and now was so unclear. But now it's clear, you know. Because we cannot be here and now as long as we have such an active mind. And our active mind always brings us everywhere other than here and now. You know? Not here, not now. It means future or past or somewhere else. Please check your mind. Your mind is always like that. Okay? So your mind is always somewhere else and very active. You know? So that's why to stop it, we really have to come back to here and now. But why? Point is why? You know? If we try to bring your mind back, here and now, again, some kind of internal war will start. Fighting will start. Okay? So again, we have to be very skillful. We need a strategy. You know? Then Buddha taught us, you should be aware of your subtle sensation. Subtle sensation, what does it mean? It means it's not rough sensation. It's not like pain. It's not like pleasure, sensual pleasure. Not like that. And our mind is usually somewhere else. That's why our mind is not at all aware of our body. This is the whole point. Okay? So when your mind is crazily active, at that time, your mind is not aware of your body. So it means we do exactly opposite. When we are aware of our body, our mind will calm down. You know. When our mind is active, we completely forget our body. It means when we remember our body, our mind will calm down. So this kind of relationship, okay? Then why body sensation is good? Because maybe there are many visualization or breathing, or there are many meditation objects. You know, but why subtle sensation is good? Because subtle sensation, our physical subtle sensation is very realistic or touchable. We can touch. We can touch. It's real, you know. So that's why you can really touch your real sensation of your body, you know. Then, otherwise, you know, if you choose some kind of intellectual meditation object, then your mind becomes more active, you know. But subtle sensation, if you feel subtle sensation, your mind will become less active, and calm down. But it doesn't mean you become sleepy and you fall into sleep. You know? Of course, meditative state and sleeping is totally different. But a little close, you know. That's why people, instead of going to meditative state, many people actually go to sleeping, you know. But we avoid sleepiness. But we avoid too much activities. And we enter into meditative state by paying attention to our subtle sensation. You know? So, as far as I know, this is the easiest. Not only from my experience, but I'm teaching meditation now to many people in Japan, abroad too, you know. But from my students' opinions or their experience, you know, many people can really calm down their mind by paying attention to their subtle sensation, you know. So, after the tea break, immediately, after a tea break, and then short yoga session, then you start meditation.